A brand new psalm setting in chapel that was actually written last night by a bunch of music majors, and so we want to, before worship starts, we want to actually learn this piece. So what we're going to do is divide between men and women, and this is Psalm 34. And let me show you how the men's part goes, so that when by the time comes, you'll be ready to sing it. Are my freshmen around here?
Yeah.
All right, come on up and may have to move that monitor just a little bit too, but okay. What? Let me know when you guys are in place. Are we in place?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna show you this first part. Gentlemen, sing with me. One and two and three, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Who takes refuge in Him, and those who seek the Lord have all they need. Try it, guys. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, that's the one who takes refuge in Him. Those who seek the Lord have all they need. Gentlemen, one more time. Give it a run, guys. Good. Deep breath, guys, and let's see if you can do this. One and a two and a three. Oh, taste and see. Oh, yeah. That the Lord is good. Come on, come on, come on, oh, taste and see. Yeah, 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 that the Lord is good. That's the one who takes refuge in Him. And those who seek the Lord have all they need.
How
great is our God. I got the words wrong. How great is our God. Now, ladies, while they're singing that, you're singing. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see. How good is He? Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. How great is our God. Ladies, try it. Here we go. Open your mouth and taste. Everybody give that a try one time together. One and two and three. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. How And we'll sing the next part. The verse is a little, the verse goes on with the psalm. Oh, worship God. Let's sing it. We'll sing it to you so you can hear it. Here we go. And what?
Oh, worship God. If you want the best, worship opens doors to God's goodness. Even the lives will weep, but those who seek the Lord have all they need.
Let's try it, everybody.
Oh, worship God, if you want the best. Worship opens doors to God's goodness. Even the lion snores and grows weak, but those who seek the Lord have all they need.
Now, since I can't see you, I can only hear you. I want to hear you singing this thing. We got just a minute to learn it. I want to hear you singing it. If you're present in the room, say uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
If you're really present in the room, say oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's sing this. Oh, worship God. At one.
Oh, worship God. If you want the best, uh-huh. Worship opens doors to God's goodness.
La da 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 da.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. How great, how great is my God.
Sing that phrase again.
How great is our God.
And the piece has a second verse. I think we may have just a minute to teach that second verse. Okay, let's sing that second verse. Are you ready? And one. I think we're ready on that. The only other thing I have to tell you is we're going to sing the setting of Psalm 92, which I think some of you have sung in chapel already. The chorus, it's good to give thanks to the Lord by day and by night, with a harp and the lute. Make me glad, your works make me rejoice. Yes, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, when we sing this, everybody who's on this side of the room is going to continue to sing, it's good to give thanks. But after the first chorus, everybody on this side of the room is going to sing the verse.
Fools never get it. They never will.
Okay, got the idea? Are you cool with that? Okay. Are we ready to then begin?
Good morning. You can tell that this morning might be a little unorthodox, which is exciting. Welcome to chapel, everybody. My name's Keith Martell, and it's my honor to welcome you here this morning. Hey, the usual announcements, make sure that you turn off your devices. Make sure that you take time when you leave to take your bulletins and trash with you. And also, we'll be having prayer, as usual, in the trophy room after chapel. We would be delighted to have you join us to pray about things that you hear here this morning, or things going on in your lives in general. This Saturday's football game versus Grove City is at 7 p.m. and will be a pink out in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Attend the game to support the Geneva College Tornadoes. Wear pink to support those whose lives have been touched by breast cancer. And remember, the early detection saves lives. Breast Cancer Awareness T-shirts will also be sold at the football game on Saturday. Today, our speaker is composer Ken Miedema. We'll be singing his music today as well, as we've already been doing. If you want to catch more of Miedema's music, come to his concert tonight at 7 p.m. for his wild mix of upbeat praise and worship and spontaneous composition. For free, instead of being in Old Main tonight, his concert will be at College Hill United Methodist Church on the corner of 5th Avenue and 33rd Street. Come and he'll maybe write a song just for you. Now, please take a moment in silence to go before the God who made you, who knows you, and who loves you.
Would you join me for the collect? What is the chief end of man? To glorify and enjoy him forever. However, we are so quick to forget him. So many of us think and live like the movie of life is all about us. Yet God is the main character. Our scenes in the movie, our brief lives, fall somewhere between the time Jesus ascends to heaven and we all worship God on his throne. So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we must do it all for the glory of God. The point of our lives is to point to him. It is his movie, his world, his gift, his banquet, and our chief end is to glorify him.
Psalm 92 says, it's good to give thanks with the sound of the lute and the harp. And so we actually have a harp. It's an easy harp to play. It's called an auto harp. Just strum that F chord for us, will you, a little bit? So that we can get used to that sound. Just strum that chord and the rhythm. One and two and a three and a four. The one and a two and a three. It's good to give thanks. Here we go. One. It's good to
give thanks to the Lord,
oh yeah,
by day and by night,
to the harp and the lute. You make me glad, your works make me rejoice, yes it is good, good to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord. If fools never get it, give thanks to the Lord. Show them by night to the harp and the lute. You make me glad, your words make me rejoice. Yes, it is good, good to give thanks, thanks to the Lord. Sing that chorus now, here we go now. It's good to give thanks, oh yes it is.
Give thanks to the Lord,
oh yes now. But then, come on now.
The harp and the lute,
oh yeah. By day and by night, the harp
good to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord by day and by night, to the harp and the lute. You make me glad, your words make me rejoice. Yes, it is good, good to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord.
Y'all are good. Stay on, stand up straight and tall, because you sing better when you stand up. We're going to do this, the new Psalm 34, Oh, Taste and See. We learned it a minute ago. I'll bet you can rock it out. I'll give you a little introduction. We have some wonderful percussion. This is a song that you can move to. It's got a wonderful sort of Jamaican reggae beat. So if you feel like moving, the beat's like this.
Refuge in Him. Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace in creating us, in sustaining us, in saving us through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that because he sits at your right hand in heaven, we can lift up our prayers and requests to you. We confess that we have not served you as we ought. We pray that you would enliven our spirits and strengthen our flesh, that we might go out and bear lasting fruit for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you and praise you for bringing us through the first half of this semester. Lord, even in the first quarter of the school year, we've been challenged in so many ways, everything from the flooding on campus 2 weeks ago to the various security issues during homecoming weekend. Lord, we know that unless you watch over the city, the watchmen that stand guard in vain. We thank you for the people that you have put in place to deal with these crisis situations, and we pray that they would look to you alone as their firm foundation. Lord, we now bring before you our prayers and requests, knowing that you hear them. We think of the many people from across our community that have lost loved ones this semester. Lord, most recently, it is with heavy hearts that we lift up to you your servant Greg Mead, whose grandfather passed away over fall break. Lord, we know that this is especially hard for Greg and his family, and even for all of us, because he was not a believer in you. We pray that you would give strength to Greg's father as he ministers to his own family, and we pray that Greg's uncle, grandmother, and other family members may be reached through this devastating loss. Lord, I had the opportunity to speak with Greg this morning, and it's so comforting to know that he's trusting in you through this, that he's abiding in your love, and we pray that we would all do the same when faced with similar situations. Lord, we lift up to you Geneva graduate Matt McCune, who fell off a two-story roof onto concrete last Thursday, causing injuries to his neck, wrist, and knee. We thank you and praise you that these injuries are not permanent, but we pray that you would heal Matt's pain and help him as he adjusts to doing daily tasks with a wheelchair and a neck brace. Lord, we continue to pray for health concerns of freshman Alyssa Milleran, for Debbie Kasteller, for Dr. Danny Hitchcock's son Calvin, and for four-year-old Jada Reichert, who is fighting bone cancer. Lord, in particular, we rejoice that Jada was able to come home from the hospital over this fall break, and we pray that she might be rid of this terrible disease once and for all through your healing hand. We continue to think of our friends and peers who are studying abroad this semester. We pray for your missionaries and ministers of the word, both at home and abroad, especially Pastor Youssef Nadakhani in Iran, who is now facing a retrial for his commitment to Christ in this dangerous land. Lord, we also lift up our public servants and our active military, including sophomore athlete Ryan White, who is being redeployed to Afghanistan this month. We pray that you would grant them all wisdom and safety in all that they do, especially with these elections upcoming next year. Lord, we continue to lift up our speakers throughout the semester. We particularly lift up Mr. Ken Miedema today. We thank you for his vigorous leading us in the worship of you this morning. And we pray that you be with him as he speaks on Luke 14, that his words would be yours, and that you would give us grace through the reading and discussion of your holy, inspired word to grow closer to you. We pray all these things, knowing that you hear us and care for our every need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading is from Luke chapter 14. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" We're especially glad to have Ken Miedema here this morning. I also want to acknowledge all the work that David Smith did in making these arrangements and working hard with the new arrangements. But please welcome now Ken Miedema.
Okay, you guys, this is an absolutely hysterical story. Now, we don't think of Jesus very often as being hysterically funny, but this story is hysterically funny. Let me, maybe we should move that monitor back a little bit. Let me tell you a parallel story just to show you how funny this story really is. It's NASA's first manned mission to Mars. The year is about, let's say, 2030. It's NASA's first manned mission to Mars, and it is a huge, big mess.
Well, it's a big, big day at NASA in the USA. Well, it's a big, big day at NASA in the USA. The first manned mission to Mars, all the astronauts, a big, big star. Yeah, it's a big, big day at NASA in the USA. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big, big day at NASA in the USA.
Everybody has been in. There are presidents coming, there are prime ministers coming, there are former directors of NASA coming, Congress people coming, Bill Gates is going to be there. Steve Jobs would have been there, but he died recently. Everybody's going to be there. So the limousine pulls up at the home of one of the former presidents of the United States of America. And the driver gets out and knocks on the door. President answers the door. Oh, doggone it, it's you. I tell you what, you're going to have to excuse me. I can't attend the launch because I'm right in the middle of a card game. And you go, uh-huh, right. Meanwhile, across the pond, the limousine pulls up at one of the residences of the former Prime Minister of England. And he looks at the limousine driver and says, oh, dear me, I'm afraid I can't attend the launch because I'm right in the middle of a cup of tea. Now, you see how ludicrous that is? So figure this out. In a small Middle Eastern village, if somebody's going to be having a banquet, the whole town knows about it because the preparations have been going on like for weeks and weeks and weeks. The food's been coming in, you know, the tablecloths are being made, the preparations are, you know, just going on. So you don't have more than one big shindig like this in a town at a time. You know, there are a few rich people, and when they throw a feast, everybody knows about it because all the hoo-has that are anybody have been invited, and all the other people who aren't hoo-has, who are nobodies, are going to be watching around the edge of the feast to see maybe they can glean a little bit of food, but it's always kind of fascinating to watch the lifestyles of the rich and famous. So This big feast is being given by this wealthy landowner. The preparations have been going on for a long time. Now, similarly, if there's going to be a wedding in town, it's the same deal. The preparations will have been going on for a long time. So the first excuse, the servant comes and says, it's time for the feast. The guy says, oh dear, I just got married. No. Because if you were getting married, the preparations would have been made months ago. There's something really fishy if you say you just got married. Jesus' crowd is now laughing their heads off. Okay? Now, the other one, I've just bought a field and I gotta go look at it. People, if I were buying that field, I would have been sitting at the city gate for the last 3 months haggling about the price. Hey, look, I checked out this field. There's a whole section in the middle that gets flooded whenever the rain comes down. So you're not going to sell me that stupid field. I'm not going to pay no $100 for that field. I'll pay you $72, but no more. And the stuff's going to be going on for months and months and months. And everybody's going to go, hey, I wonder how much he's going to pay for that. I don't know, but he made a counter offer today. He did? Yeah, I don't know. There's really a lot of anger going on about that. He doesn't want to pay what the guy asking. Well, shucks, maybe somebody else will buy. And the gossip is going on around town. So the notion, I just bought a field, I got to try it, got to go look at it. Jesus' friends are laughing their silly heads off by now. Now, the other one, I bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go try them. You don't try it before you buy it. Hello. Months and months, the guy is trying those oxen. He's running them through their paces. You know, some of these guys are pretty good, but the one on the left there, he just doesn't make it. Can you substitute the one on the left for another? You got another one you can sell me. It's going on for a long time. So the notion that I've just bought these oxen, I got to try them, that is a belly laugher. So let me go back to my parallel story. It's Friday night in the projects. All the guys are hanging out. Drug dealers on the corner doing deals going down. Little kids playing basketball. Along comes a great big, big limousine. Door of the limousine opens. Out walks a driver with a tuxedo on. He says, hey, you guys, I'm inviting y'all to a big, big celebration. You're going to go see the launching of the first manned Mars mission. And all at once, there is silence. Nobody can quite... Is this some kind of unreal thing? Is this the cops doing a number on us? But eventually, they get persuaded. And the kids from the project get into the limousine, and they are driven to the airport to a private jet, where they get on the plane, and they are flown all the way to Cape Canaveral to watch the first manned Mars mission launch. What do you think is going to be going on in the heads of those kids? And what do you think is going on in the mind of a blind person, a poor person, a lame person who lives on the street, who probably doesn't really have a decent place to live at all, and all of a sudden... You've been invited to the grand feast. You've been invited, don't worry that you've got nothing to wear. We'll supply the clothes, we'll supply the food. You just come. Like you are, oh yeah. You just come. Come like you are. So you can imagine now, all of a sudden, you've got this whole room full of people who have never been at a feast like this before. One guy's sitting over here cramming bread into his mouth. This is great bread. And somebody else, with no sense of elegance, has just polished off three glasses of wine and is getting fairly drunk already. Meanwhile, you've got people reaching into the middle of the table, grabbing chunks of meat off the plate, because that's the way they eat. Grabbing chunks of meat off the plate, not waiting to be served. And meanwhile, the servants are walking around like, these are crude people. But it's a fabulous, fabulous feast, and the room is buzzing with conversation. Everybody's so excited. Nobody in this room has ever been a part of a feast like this. I've always looked at it from the outside. I've always been the person who's hanging around the outside hoping that somebody tosses me a little bit of food. And here I am sitting at the table. Oh, my word. I never imagined having a place at a table like this. And the feast goes on. What I'd like to do now is imagine chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this story that the Bible doesn't tell you. Let's go back to my story about NASA. One kid from the projects is so excited by what he sees. He watches the launch. He and his friends are there. They're at NASA headquarters at Cape Canaveral, and they're only a few they're only maybe a half mile away from where they can see the great rockets and the great capsule ready to launch. And this is the biggest thing they've ever seen, and they're dumbstruck. But one kid is not only dumbstruck, but he says, "You know, maybe I can do something like this." And when he goes back to the projects, he's not happy to just stay there. He's committed to doing better in school because he's got this new dream. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to study space science. I'm going to maybe be an astronaut. Maybe I'm going to be the guy who fires the rocket. I'd like to imagine that the people who sit around this table that Jesus talks about, in the second part of the story, they come back next week because the big landowner, householder guy says, "You know, I like you people a lot. I would like to help you live better, more productive lives. Why don't you come back for a feast next week?" And so the next week, they come back and they begin to learn from the householder. They begin to learn a little bit about life and about how maybe to live a more productive life. And they start having a feast every week. And one of the things they do always at this feast is have a little bread and a little wine after the main dinner is over. Just a taste of bread and wine. Just a taste. It's all so fine. Just a taste to get me through the week. I'm learning to seek a better life. So in my imagination, these people become the people who sit around the communion table, don't they? The people who were once outside the good stuff, living on the street, trying to find their way to a little tiny piece of food, and now they're guests around the table, and now they are given the chance to be at the table week after week after week after week, learning, growing, feasting, getting stronger, getting braver. But now it's time for chapter 3. The landowner, rich man, householder guy, comes to his now new group of friends. And you know that the people who were originally invited to the feast are pretty mad by this time. Because, you know, I gave this lousy, stupid excuse why I couldn't come to the feast. And now look, he's got those people coming back every week. And it could have been me. So, the landowner, householder, rich guy says, "You know what? This dining room is nice and big, but it does have some limitations. I can't feed all the people I want to feed in this dining room. So what are we going to do?" And they all think about it for a while. And then the rich landowner, householder guy says, "You know, what would it be like if I sent you out back to the streets?" "Oh, no, no, don't send us out there, man. Don't send us out there, man. We spent too many years out there, man." "No, no, no, no. You don't get it. Listen, I send you out to the streets with all the supplies you need to build tables." "Huh?" "Yeah. You're going to go out in the streets and build tables. Because maybe we can feed everybody. So what you're going to do, you're going to build tables out there all over the city. I mean, like, you know, in the streets and in the alleys and whatever. You're going to build tables. I'll give you all the wood you need. I'll give you all the hammers and nails and blocks. You're going to build tables out there, and then I'll supply all the food. You just come and get it and bring it out there and tell everybody to come and eat, because I can't fit them all in this dining room. So we're going to build tables out there in the street. Well, they think this is the coolest thing going. So everybody leaves the house with armloads of supplies, and you can hear the all over the city pounding and sawing, and they're building tables all over the city. It's crazy. The whole town's like, what's going on? And they come back for supplies, and before you know it, there are these huge feasts going on everywhere. Now, meanwhile, the head servant of the big householder rich man guy, the head servant has been on vacation. He comes back from vacation. He knows there's something big going on at the house. He walks into the dining room, and he sees all these tables that are set. And he sees baskets and baskets of food on the tables. And he sees people coming to pick up baskets of food. And he comes to the landowner, householder, rich man guy, and says, where are all the table guests? And the landowner, rich man, household guy, with a big smile on his face, says, they're out there. They're out there. They're out there building tables on the street. Building tables everywhere. Building tables here and there. In the alley, in the street. Now and have a seat. There is food for everyone. No one goes hungry anymore. There are provisions. It is an open door. Food that will never run out. Wine that will never run dry. Come sit at the table here. Come sit at the table here. In the streets and in the alleys of this town. And we will not rest till all the world shall feast. All of the world shall feast again. Hurrah, hurrah. Injustice and crime are ended then. Hurrah, hurrah. All the strangers will be at home. Sisters and brothers will all become, and we will not rest till all of the world shall feast. Till weapon is plow and hoe again. Hurrah, hurrah. Shall mercy like rivers flow again. Hurrah, hurrah. We will see a better day. Hunger shall be done away, and we will not rest till all of the world shall feast. And we will not rest till all of the world shall feast. Pray with me. God, you are the one who invited us to the table. And you fed us. And you gave us all the provision that we could ever, ever, ever possibly need. But you knew very well that we'd get fat sitting around the table. And so you gave us the supplies to go build tables out in the streets and in the alleys. And you gave us all the food we needed to set those tables and to invite everybody on the street to come and feast. We're glad for this task. We're glad that you trusted us with your feast to give it away. And we commit ourselves all over again to being your feast givers, to building tables out in the streets of our city. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. It's good to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord by day and by night, to the harp and the lute. You make me glad, your works make me rejoice. Yes, it is good, good to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord. Yes, it is good. Sing it in harmony. Yes, it is good. Good to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord. Now, one more time. Yes, it is good. Good to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord.